And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about gun control and misgendering. Gun control and misgendering. This new idea, really an idea that's been unfolding for a couple of years now, now that we've got all the gender confusion going on in our country and really throughout the Western world. It's remarkable how these ideas spread very, very quickly from one country to the next. You see them flourish in the United States, Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, all over Western Europe, in Australia, in New Zealand, throughout the what has been called the free world. These ideas seem to spread like wildfire once they take hold somewhere. And so that's why we pay attention to what's going on in places like Canada and over in the UK, because when they pass laws in those countries about certain ideas that the progressives are promoting, we begin to then see a move in our country to adopt the same ideas. And one of those ideas is this whole idea, this whole concept of misgendering, where if you have a transgender, a man who wants to dress up like a woman, and some guy shows up in a dress with a wig and lipstick and this kind of thing, and you refer to him as him rather than calling him her, then you are allegedly guilty of misgendering somebody, not using the proper pronoun for them. He wants to be called she, and if you don't respect that, if you refuse to cooperate with the delusion, then you are guilty of some moral failing. That's the prevailing idea that is emerging in the West. Now, there's a story over in the UK of a woman who was arrested in front of her children over in the UK for misgendering a trans man, really a transgender, a guy dressed up like a woman. And she called him, got into one of these online debates with him over there in the UK. And turns out the guy was a transgender activist and dressed up like a woman. She called him a man. He got mad, called the police, and was able to have her arrested because she got into a debate with him online. And he got mad because she refused to call him a woman. And you can go, this is all over the internet. A British woman arrested for misgendering on Twitter. A UK mom arrested for calling transgender activist a man. Mother arrested, taken to jail for 7 hours for misgendering. English woman reportedly arrested, etc. This is, now, the thing about this, that this is bad enough. We've got elements of this here in the United States. Up in New York, they passed a law where if you're a business owner and you have a transgender working for you and you refuse to use the proper pronoun, you can pay a fine of up to $250,000 as a business owner in New York for misgendering somebody. Okay? Out in California, they've passed a law that in certain circumstances, if you misgender somebody, and right now the law is, it's pretty limited, but nevertheless, that they have allowed it at all should be a concern for anybody who cherishes free speech, and especially Christians, because the law is obviously targeting the Christian moral value system. But it really can affect anyone at this point. I mean, there was the video of the transgender guy dressed up like a woman, and he went into a store here just a short time ago, a few weeks ago, and he got mad because the clerk at the store kept saying, "Yes, sir," and this kind of thing, and he got mad and started yelling and said, "It's ma'am," right? And he's yelling, and he kicks something over as he's storming out of the store and this kind of thing. Now, see, it's okay for him to go in there and start yelling and screaming at a clerk in a store. It's okay for him to knock things over and this kind of thing. All of that is supposedly acceptable. No, the great offense is that somebody was not willing to go along with his delusion. And so now it's expected that people have to cooperate. It's not enough that some guy wants to dress up like a girl. But now they're insisting that you have to go along with this. And you have to play along and pretend that this man is a woman. You have to pretend that Bruce Jenner is really Caitlyn Jenner and say, "Yes, ma'am," and "she this" and "she that," when you, the whole time, you know it's Bruce Jenner. It's a guy dressed up like a woman. That's what it is. They're bending and twisting reality itself. And of course, the whole thing is unconstitutional. If we just go with our founding documents and, you know, all men are created and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. I mean, you read the book of Genesis, it says very clearly that in the beginning, God made them male and female. God did not create genderless beings. That's not what we're told in the scripture. In fact, God's law in Deuteronomy chapter 22, we all know Leviticus chapter 18, which condemns homosexual behavior. If a man lies with a man as with a woman, that is called an abomination. But then if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, it says very clearly, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." So not just homosexuality, but homosexuality and transgenderism, because that's basically what's being described here, are called an abomination unto God. Very, you know, and there are a number of other things that are called an abomination, not just homosexual practices. There are other things that are called abomination. However, this is a very extreme form of condemnation for this behavior, according to the Word of God. It's not something that is lightly condemned. I mean, if you read other renderings, other readings of this, translations use the word detestable. Whoever does these things is detestable. That's the other word. Instead of abomination, they use the word detestable. Of course, we prefer the King James, and the word abomination is in the KJV. But we see there are no readings. Nobody comes up with a reading of this that somehow or other gives you another impression. It's very, very clear that this is unacceptable behavior. Also, if you study the Sodomites in the days of King Josiah, you can read about this in 2 Kings chapter 23, in verse 7, when Josiah is carrying out the reforms in his kingdom. What happens, of course, his kingdom had fallen into idolatry and error before he ever came to the throne. He came to the throne as a very young king, and he comes to the throne, and then after he had been king for a number of years, they brought forth out of the temple, they brought forth a book of Moses that was most likely the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible, and they read before the king, Josiah, all the words of the book of Moses. And when King Josiah hears the words of God's law and his commandments and so on, he tears his garment and he weeps and he realizes that he and his kingdom are in error. They have departed from the commandments of the Lord. They've not kept them. So Josiah then leads a reform. He is a reformer king, and he reforms his kingdom dramatically. And he goes and he tears down the idols and he destroys them and he puts a stop to the practice of idolatry as much as he could. And then it says in verse 7, it says, and he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Now, the grove is usually a reference either to a grove of trees where they would worship idols, or possibly the Asherah poles, which is where they would carve the image of a goddess, typically, into a tree. You can go online, type in Asherah pole, and you can see images of this. Remember this whenever somebody talks about Christmas trees and they claim that the grove represents Christmas trees. It simply does not. It represents these Asherah poles that were literally carved into the image of a goddess, typically. Sometimes a male god, from what I've seen, but typically a goddess. And that was the idolatrous worship that they would engage in. But the Gali, these Sodomites mentioned in the days of Josiah, are said to be the ancient Gali. And if you study them, they were a transgender cult. They would literally, male prostitutes, it was said, who would transform themselves into the image of their goddess. And they went through this whole ritual and so on. But they were effectively an ancient form of transgenderism. And they were clearly condemned by the law of God. King Josiah recognized this. And even though they'd built their houses along the walls of the temple. What do we find today? We find Sodomites trying to get into the church, to integrate themselves into the temple of God, which is God's people. And I believe this is a pattern that we find in the ancient world, and we find it throughout history. But Josiah, now having heard the law and the commandments of God, recognizes this is unacceptable in the sight of God, so he tears down their houses and drives them out. And as long as, we have the warning in Genesis, brethren. Some people think maybe that's harsh. But I personally do not think that is harsh. I think that is what should be done with the entire LGBT movement in our system. It should be driven out of our courts, out of our government, out of our schools, etc. It should be driven out of our system. It should be forbidden. The public promotion of this behavior should be forbidden, because the alternative is, this is not a movement that's going to simply mind its own business. No, just as at Sodom and Gomorrah, sooner or later, they come for the righteous. Just as they went down to the house of Lot and began banging on the door and demanding that Lot and his household had to conform. That's what this movement does. Here's an article quickly before we go to our commercial break. This is from the California Family Council. Last year, back in 2018, this was the headline from the California Family Council. It said, quote, good news, law penalizing misgendering with hefty fine and or jail time being legally challenged. And indeed, that is good news. And the article, the California Family Council, of course, calls this an atrocious law to be punishing people for so-called misgendering. And we certainly agree with that. But what should be disturbing, brethren, is the fact that anybody would even suggest a law like this in our country, that anybody would even propose such a thing, and that it was passed anywhere in our country. But we saw what happened with gay marriage. Remember that. People were promoting gay marriage, and then you had all these states that had bans on it. And then what happened? It went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court formally ruled in favor of gay marriage. So this could be the beginning of a very, very disturbing movement and pattern in our country. Okay. Let's go to our commercial break. We are going to talk more when we come back right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, again, we are talking about gun control and the so-called crime of misgendering. Misgendering. Getting somebody's gender. Well, really, it's not, you know, it's stating what they are biologically, how they were created by God, is now an offense. And we have to recognize that it is God's authority that is being challenged here. That is the number one issue. The number one issue is this is rebellion against God himself. It's rebellion against our Creator. That, I believe, is the reason why Sodom and Gomorrah suffered the fate that it did, because the whole, its entire worldview had become in complete opposition and rebellion against God who had created them. And that's the direction that the Western world is headed now, in no small part because of this LGBT movement. And here's why I think this is very significant. When we made our film years ago, The Kinsey Syndrome, we could see a pattern emerging with the gay movement, that they not only want to impose LGBT ideology, but then they want to make it a crime for anyone who opposes it or speaks out against it. This becomes very disturbing once you begin to see the promotion of pedophilia and the whole concept of pedophile rights, which is gaining ground. There you've got these alternative groups that are talking about this more and more. They haven't been able to come out with it full on yet, but they're moving in that direction. And right now, with what they've done in Canada, if you have if you've got parents and they have a child, let's say a 7-year-old boy who wants to dress up like a girl, And the parents tell him, no, you're a boy, you've got to dress like a boy. They pass a law in Canada that allows Child Protective Services to come in and take custody of the child away from the parents because supposedly the parents are endangering the child. Now, we all know that they put this little transgender boy who dresses up like a girl, he calls himself Desmond is Amazing, and they put him on the Today Show. This just shows how far we have fallen as a country and how far into darkness our country is being taken by this perverted movement, where now they're just fully normalizing this behavior and they're targeting kids. And they're not doing it for no reason. They're headed somewhere with this. And anybody who has studied this movement, studied it in depth for any length of time, knows that this is where they're headed. And the danger is, brethren, is that the day may come where you will have pedophiles demanding that they have a right to have a relationship with an underage child, a child that belongs to somebody else, and you'll have the pedophile demanding that the parents somehow or other be punished for interfering. And where the state will intervene and parents could be fined, they could be arrested, they could be put in prison. That is the direction this movement is headed. Now, and then you factor that, and then you factor in the systematic invasion of Islam into the West and what's been going on in the UK with these Muslim rape gangs, where the Muslim rape gangs have gotten away with raping all of these young girls, and the police, not only will they not protect the children, but when the parents try to take action to rescue their kids, the parents are often the ones who are arrested by the police and taken to jail. Now, I want you to listen to this exchange. This is from authorities in the UK, government authorities having a conversation with a police chief over the scandals that went on with these rape gangs. I want you to listen here. This goes on for about 2 minutes, but listen to this exchange. Here it is.
Paragraph 5.21 shows how a police officer dismissed the case of a 12-year-old girl who'd been having sex with up to five Asian males because he said she had been, quote, 100% consensual in every incident. 12 years of age? I think that's unbelievable, to be honest. Have you identified who that officer was and found out what happened there?
Can I just make one thing clear? That I've said today that we must have an independent investigation team to come back at this. I have also personally spoken to the director of investigations. I've also personally spoken to the director of investigations at the IPCC, and in order to involve them in this as well.
Well, if a report landed on my desk well over a week ago now, saying that people I was responsible for had behaved like that, I'd want to know pretty quickly what on earth had happened. In paragraph 5.9, it says that fathers had tracked down their daughters and tried to remove them from houses where they were being abused, only to find themselves arrested when police were called to the scene. Do you know what happened in that case?
Chair, I don't seek to defend any of this.
Okay, so you can see where this whole thing is headed. And the police chief is just sitting there saying, you know, well, I'm not defending it, and he doesn't know anything. The method that they're using, because this is systematic, is just to play stupid and to pretend like they don't know what's going on, or they're just confused or something like that. Now, if you were to go listen to the rest of that report and then listen to Theresa May, who's the prime minister over there, when she talks about this, she talks about how these rape gangs began operating in 1997. I've said it before. 1997 was the year that they confiscated guns from the people of England. That was the same year. And that was the year that these rape gangs began to go into overdrive. Now, I said we were going to talk about gun control. And the reason is because now we have a new quote. We have this whole border situation going on with the southern border and the Dems trying to block any sort of financing for it. Although, I mean, the Republicans could have financed it, but Paul Ryan wouldn't do it. So all this floundering around. So now Trump is talking about declaring a national emergency and financing the wall no matter what. In response to this, Nancy Pelosi has said, this is a headline on InfoWars that says, quote, Pelosi says next Democratic president could target Second Amendment with national emergency. And then she's quoted, Pelosi delivered her statement moments after the White House said President Trump would declare a national emergency to secure the border. And then Pelosi said, quote, if the president can declare an emergency on something that he has created as an emergency, an illusion that he wants to convey, just think of what a president with different values can present to the American people, she said. You want to talk about a national emergency? Let's talk about today, the one-year anniversary of another manifestation of the epidemic of gun violence in America. She said, that's a national emergency. Why don't you declare that emergency, Mr. President? I wish you would. But a Democratic president can do that. A Democratic president can declare emergencies as well. End quote. So what would that mean if a Democrat president declared a national emergency on the Second Amendment? What would be the result? The suggestion and the overtones of that are disturbing, to say the least. But these are the things happening in our day, brethren. We need to lift our eyes to heaven, trust the Lord, and seek what He would have us to do in the troubled time in which we live. All right, brethren, that is it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.